Hi everyone, I'm Andy.
And I'm Allie.
And welcome back to another week of your favorite book club and media podcast, Marianne and Wanda. Man, it has been a week.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it's Thursday now, so it's a little later than when we normally record, but man, what a week.
Well, you got the sickness, and that happens when you get the sickness.
Not only that, we went to a wedding last weekend in Michigan.
Remind me, was this one of Adam's relatives?
Yes, one of Adam's cousins on his dad's side.
Okay. And
that side of the family, that cousin in particular, her family is so huge that her dad, I was having breakfast and he was sitting at our table Saturday morning because we stayed at, it was at a big campground. It was a really cool place that had like a big indoor lounge area with a kitchen.
Ooh.
And then it had like probably 12 or so cabins on the place, and they just rented out the whole thing. So we got to stay on site there. Anyway, the bride's dad was telling me on Saturday morning while we were eating breakfast that he has 17 grandchildren. So all of them were there, plus Rosie, plus a couple other of like the bride and groom's friends who came that had little kids. So there was a lot of kids at this wedding.
Yeah, sounds like it.
Yeah. Rosie's favorite part was the bride had a lot of young kids in the processional. So she had flower girls, but she also had some boys in there. So she had a lot of flower children. but instead of throwing out flowers, they threw out candy like at a parade. And Rosie was like diving into the aisle to get all the candy.
Love that for her.
And she would like go and pick up as much as she could, and then like ran back to one of Adam's other aunts who sits in like a wheelchair and basically shoved all the candy in her lap, like, hold this, I gotta go get us some more.
I love that. She would love Mardi Gras.
Yeah, she would.
That's insane.
That was fun. They had a really cool ceremony. But yeah, it took us forever to drive up there. Did you see in the news about the truck in Cincinnati that ran off the bridge and was like dangling?
No, I did not.
Okay, I'll have to send it to you. It was crazy looking pictures. Anyway, we sat in traffic in Cincinnati for a while. This truck, like, I don't know if it hit somebody or hit this guardrail or something, but it like was hanging off the bridge, and they had to send in rescue crews to rappel down from the fire trucks and rescue the driver.
Oh, goodness.
So she was hanging in the truck for like 40 minutes while they tried to rescue her.
Off but the side she got of the out bridge. Okay?
Yeah, they rescued her.
Oh, God.
Yeah, but anyway, traffic was backed up from that for a long time.
Yeah, I imagine.
Yeah, by the time it happened around noon on Friday, and by the time we came through that evening, they had gotten the truck back up on the bridge, but it was like still blocking all lanes of traffic. So they had done a lot of work to that point, but we still sat in traffic for a while. Anyway, we got there at 3:30 in the morning, early Saturday morning. And yeah, so we were exhausted from that. So stayed there, we went to the wedding, and then we checked out on Sunday and checked into an Airbnb because Adam had some other family he wanted to visit while we were up there. But this Airbnb, it was not listed as accurately as it could have been.
Oh. And,
I mean, it was very clean, so that was nice, but it was right next to a railroad track, and you could literally hear every car that would like doo-doo over the railroad tracks.
Mm-hmm.
All night long. Like, the traffic never stopped. There was semi-trucks going over it all through the night. And I was like, this is horrible. We're not getting any sleep. So we ended up checking out a day early so we could drive back and get some good sleep before going back to work.
Wow. What a ride.
Yeah. And then Adam got sick.
As happens.
Yeah. So anyway, we've done a lot of driving in the last week.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's new with you?
Well, I mean, I've also had a week. I successfully have sent my advisor a draft of one of my chapters for my PhD, and I'm on track to send him a second one by probably tomorrow or the day after, depending on how much work I get done tomorrow.
Mm.
So that's great. We love to hear that. It means I'm progressing. Love to hear it. But I also, so this week I was driving, I was going to drive my car last Thursday to book club in town, and I got over the bridge and it was like freaking out. It was overheating. My car's like, you can't do this anymore. I stop and I turn around. And it turns out it was out of coolant, which isn't good. So I put some stuff in there and it like, it kept it enough. And then I managed to get up to a shop in town. And it turns out that I had, well, I had a, some sort of, what's the word I'm looking for? You know, on the hose, like a clamp on the hose was loose. And on top of that, the thermostat housing was also cracked. So I had to get both of those things replaced. So thank God for Randy, who was, who took me up to town and then brought me back.
Yeah.
So, but my car is mostly fine now. We're back to the normal, shoddy car that it is.
Yeah. Yeah. How old is that car?
It's a 2011 Chevy Cruze, and it has a almost 179,000 miles on it.
Yeah. Okay. For some reason, I thought it was like a 2004 or five.
No, no.
Even still.
My mom. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's still very old. My mom got this one when we were in high school to replace one of her other cars, got totaled by some jerk who drove into the back of it, but that's neither here nor there.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. So we're back to operational. We're doing some good work. Jose was sick for a little bit, but he seems a lot better now. So that's also very good.
Oh, good.
So we're moving on up. It's all uphill from here.
Hopefully.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So this week we read the second story in our short story series by Ramona Azabel in the book called A Wayland. And this one, so we talked about in the first one that the book is kind of divided up into four sections almost. And it reminds me kind of almost like a play where you have like act one, act two, three, and four. So this one, the story is called Club Zeus, and it's from the Lonesome Flats act or era, whatever you want to call it.
A bunch of stories about loneliness, lots of, it's like themes, it's broken apart into different themes, motifs, if you will.
All right, why don't you read your beautiful summary?
Yes, of course. So our next installment from A Wayland follows high school junior David as he attempts to escape his normal mundane life in California by working at a resort club for 8 weeks. David doesn't really know what he wants to do, where he wants to go to school, or how to connect with his now incredibly spiritual and recently divorced mother. Will he be able to gain a new perspective on life, or will he lose it all with the death of a random stranger?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I want to say your first note here was that there were, the characters were unnamed, but I'm sorry, they were named. The ones that should have been named were named.
Maybe I just, when I read it, maybe the names didn't really matter in the long run, and so they didn't stick with me. But in my head, when I started to make my notes, I was like, man, what's the son's name? Well, what's the mom's name? The only one I could think of. And then he said, like, my boss this or my boss that, and I'm like, well, I guess the boss doesn't have a name. But the only one I could think of was when he called the older lady that he stayed with Grams. But that wasn't really even her real name, that was just like his nickname for her because he couldn't pronounce her real name.
Yeah, which, like, don't even get me started on that. But he did, so he had a name, it was mentioned at least once, and then there was Amir, who was his boss.
Yeah,
he had a friend named Madeline who was gonna go off over the summer and hook up with a fun Italian guy, and that his name was Martin. But then everybody else who shouldn't have had a name didn't. And I know that you and I often call our mothers by their first names, but in this case, it, like, it makes sense for other people not to do that all the time. Yeah.
We don't follow the norm.
And for good reason. I like the name Ginge.
I was not given an option.
That's true.
Anyway. Yeah, I guess it didn't really matter in the story in the long run what their names were, and so they didn't really stick with me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's fair.
Yeah. So I guess to start out with, David, the son, is in his high school class, and his teacher is putting pins on the map of all the places that his classmates, like, their next step after high school, what they're going to do or where they're going to go, mostly where they're going to go to college. And so he's like pinning it all over the map. And it seems like David has a little bit of like a crisis moment, like, I don't know what I want to do. And so he just gets up and goes to the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
And that made me remember like our senior year applying for colleges and like the acceptances or rejections, that stage of life. Did you ever feel like you were behind the other classmates in that stage?
I definitely felt like, and this has been true for, I think, a lot of my life, where I've just not really had a long-term goal that I've been working towards.
Mm-hmm.
So like, and I just talked about this in my interview. They asked me where I was going to be in 5 to 10 years. And I was like, honestly, I don't really know.
I don't know if I would have said that, but.
My answer was, though, I did have a good answer, which I stole from my landlord, but it was that the job that I want to have probably doesn't exist right now.
Mm-hmm.
For good reason. You know, our coastal needs are changing constantly. There's a good reason for that. But I did feel a lot of sympathy for him because he was sitting in the class and he was like, I don't know where I want to go to school. I don't know what I want to do. And then he had the thought, man, the ocean's so big and beautiful. Yes. And it's a wild place out there.
Yeah. And then he even mentioned, I guess it was just because he was in California, like, wow, the Pacific is so big. And so when it had first opened, when he was on this island for the summer, I thought he was over in like an island near like Hawaii or like off in the Pacific, not over where he ended up being.
Yeah, he was in the Mediterranean. He was over by Turkey.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I felt kind of a little bit of a sense of panic like David did too, only because like I remember, do you remember Surf's Up Day?
Oh yeah, for sure.
So for those of you listening who don't know, our high school had Surf's Up Day, which was our school's version of Senior Skip Day. Basically, they didn't want us just like skipping and being unaccounted for on a school day. So they had like inflatable water slides and just whatever. They let us hang out. I guess it was it on the football field or was that the soccer fields? I don't know. Somewhere down there they did like a cookout.
Yeah, like the soccer and the cross fields. They would never have let us on the football field.
Yeah, where it was. I know it was down there somewhere.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, they let us do that. Well, I almost didn't get to go to senior Surf's Up Day because I could not decide what college I wanted to go to. I was kind of in between two or three. And the one that I felt most strongly for, my mom did not like. And she wanted me to go to Barry, which is where I ended up going. But like on the Surf's Up Day, my mom was like, okay, well, this isn't a regular school day. So if you can't decide, then we're going to go back to Barry that day and do another tour. And like, basically she was trying to sell it to me even harder. And I was so upset. And I was like, whatever, I'll go to Barry. I guess it's fine. I just want to go to Surf's Up Day.
That's so funny.
Yeah. Like I really liked UT Martin and Georgetown College in Kentucky and then Barry. Like those were the three that I liked the most and I just couldn't really decide on which one I wanted to go to. And like it was around the time when it was like you have to send in your not your acceptance but like your I guess yeah your acceptance that
your acceptance of their acceptance
yeah
your letter of intent maybe
yeah whatever it was like you have to let us know otherwise your financial aid that we offered you is going to expire. And like so the pressure was on. So I definitely resonated with David a little bit in the situation. Like, I just don't know what I want to do for sure.
Yeah, it's very understandable. And to any youth who may or may not be listening, you don't have to know what you want to do with your life.
You also don't have to go to college. You can go to trade school. You can go straight into the workforce and kind of figure out what you might like to do. That was something I was very annoyed with our high school, is that they did not even consider that something other than college was an option.
Right. And I understand why, because we did go to a private school and we had invested a lot of time and energy in our education. But like, at the same time, there's nothing wrong with going to trade school or just going to work.
And looking back now at the things that I like to do, I should have definitely gone to a trade school, but
oh yeah,
but I would have never known. I've never considered it because it was never brought up and never even listed as an option.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What anyway. What trade school would you have, no, you can cut this bit out if you want to, but what trade school would you have gone to?
I don't know what school I would have gone to, but I think I would have definitely done welding.
Huh.
Because I like, I mean, now that I know I like pottery and whatever, like, I like making stuff with my hands and, like,
mm-hmm.
a more physical job.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the job that I had when I worked at the distribution center for Bridgestone, like, doing yeah. warranty inspections and all that, working with my hands, I like that kind of work. But I never mm-hmm. knew that in high school, and I was never even given the chance to explore those options. So, anyway,
that's yeah.
tangent, but...
yeah, well, no, but that's understandable. I think that that is something that our school lacked, is like education on other paths in life, but also like a lack of education in like home ec and stuff like that, like yeah. other things. Yeah, anyway,
I was just in the office for work a couple, I guess it was last week, and one of my coworkers had a button pop off of his shirt. He was like, I don't know how to sew on a button. I didn't take like home ec class. I don't know how to do that. And I said, you can watch a YouTube video. He was like, no, I'm not doing that.
Too much effort.
Yeah. That's but just funny. Like basic stuff like that, we never learned.
No. You'd have to go to everywhere. Anyway, yeah, big tangent. But yeah, I think we definitely both felt a lot of sympathy for David.
Yeah.
And for him running off to be his job at this Club Zeus. Sounded like a ton of fun. He gets to wore a beard and he was essentially a storyteller
yeah.
for 8 weeks.
Yeah, that did sound fun. And it's like, it seemed like a pretty relaxed atmosphere. Like, nobody's taking it too seriously. He said, like, most of the people who come to his tent to visit and hear his stories are either children or drunk. So,
yeah, like, stakes, very low stakes.
Yeah.
Perfect for a 17-year-old.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But also, I wonder if he had to do a lot of studying on these mythological stories, or if he just already knew them.
Well, I don't know. I feel like he definitely had to do some learning, and it reminded me of Edith, what is it? Edith something's mythology, Greek mythology book that we had to read.
Oh, over the summer before high school?
Yeah.
Yeah. I read
Edith Hamilton.
Book. Yeah. I read that book front to back. And took detailed notes because I didn't know what was going to be expected of us when we had to, like, talk about the book in class. And I wrote, like, an entire notebook full of notes on all of those stories. And I remember Ms. Long was like, okay, overachiever, this is too much. I basically just rewrote the whole book.
That's funny.
And I told her, I was like, well, I didn't want to get a bad grade because I didn't know what was expected.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, she was like, you're fine.
Yeah, that's funny. Anyway, yeah, so my assumption is that he probably did have to learn a little bit, but I'm sure he had some background. Like, we all know a little bit about Greek myths.
Yeah, yeah. At least I think we do.
Well, and my main question is, like, how much repetition do you think he had in these stories? Like, how often?
You say them a day?
That, and, like, how many times over the summer did he have to tell the story of Hades and Persephone? You know?
Yeah. I would think it said like a lot of the people who came to that resort would stay 6 nights, 7 days. So
yeah.
I would think he's probably telling like a week's worth of stories. And then like the next week he would just start over.
Yeah.
Because it'd be new people at the resort.
Yeah. But there's also like different groups. Like he would, I don't know.
Yeah.
I feel like he probably had, I might've also gotten bored is maybe my main point here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because that is something that he mentions. He feels like he failed at his escape.
Yeah. And he also mentions that he doesn't feel like he's going to have any good stories to tell when he gets home. And so I didn't understand either of those two points.
Right. Because, like, either way, you spent your whole summer wearing a beard and being a bard in a tent. And I'm sure that there were some drunk people who really made an impression. Like, we all know what happened. So, yeah.
Yeah, I feel like you'd have plenty of stories to tell. And, like, how could you justify or how could you argue that you failed at your escape? I don't know.
Yeah.
The whole thing just seemed weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I think if one of our friends from high school came back and said, yeah, I spent the summer, like in this foreign country doing like working at a resort, I'd be like, man, that's awesome. All I did was like stay home and you know, I don't know, whatever.
Yeah, and he like spent his summer living at some old lady's house and she made him deliver cookies to a funeral. Like overall, I think he had a pretty good summer and he just needs to put it into perspective.
Yeah. So Graham's, the lady that he's staying with, is she reminded me, there's a Greek mythology character, and I can't remember the name, that's somebody like a grave keeper or like somebody who watches over the dead. Does that ring a bell? Because that's what this lady reminded me of. Like, I was imagining somebody really, really old who's like just somebody who's like a gatekeeper between earth and heaven.
Yeah. So what you're probably thinking of is, I think it's Charon is how you say his name, who ferried souls across the river Styx.
Yes. Yep, that's who I'm thinking. Yep. That's what she reminded me of.
That's fair.
Yeah.
I like her a lot.
Yeah. I like that she always had tea available.
Yeah, it doesn't feel quite Turkish to do that, but...
Really?
I don't know. I feel like the Turks are more known for their coffee.
Huh. I don't know enough about Turkish culture.
Okay. Well, one of my very best friends, Alexa, is Turkish, and they're known for Turkish coffee, essentially, which they make in, like, tiny copper pots. It's like espresso, but they make it in hot sand to boil the coffee. It's really cool. We should look up a video.
Yeah, that does sound cool.
Yeah.
I know Turkish delights from Chronicles of Narnia.
Yeah, well, those are disgusting. So.
Never had one.
They're not good. We'll leave it at that. I think, so the big thing that happens in the story is, of course, that this visitor, this Russian visitor to the resort, somehow manages to drown or have a heart attack. It was very unclear to me, in the pool, and he dies at the resort.
Mm-hmm.
And like that's the big moment, and also like that's a huge thing, David. Like, this is going to be a big story to tell your friends when you go home.
Yeah, I didn't really care a whole lot about. I mean, yeah, it was interesting, I guess, that the guy David said, like, how embarrassing that he died in only a few, like, it sounded like maybe 2 or 3 feet of water when he could have just stood up.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, I guess is kind of funny, but also not funny. But
mostly, no, I mean, you can drown in, like, anything that your face gets left under, so, like, 5 inches.
I mean, so that does make sense that he probably had, like, a heart attack or something that caused him to maybe go unconscious and then drown in small depth of water. Anyway, I didn't really pay much attention to that guy, but his newly widowed wife, I thought she was weird. I didn't like her character.
Well, I mean, so she started off by drinking a ton of vodka, which is understandable. I think that if my partner had just died, I might try to bury my sorrows in alcohol, as unproductive as that might be.
Especially with everybody standing around watching.
Yeah, and in a foreign country. So the Isabel makes a joke or whatever about the paperwork that must be required to get a body out. And based on everything that I've ever read, like, it takes a lot of paperwork to transport a dead body across state lines, let alone international lines. So
yeah, I can't imagine.
Yeah. So let's hope that never happens to us.
He got really drunk, and then later, David, I guess he like falls asleep or takes a nap or something, and she
finds
him and basically forces herself on him, which I did not like that interaction at all. I don't know if she was still drunk at that point or not. Sounded like maybe not. But at first he's like, I don't like this. She was forcing herself on me and I wanted to pull away or something like that. But then it seems like he comes around to it and he's okay with it. I just thought that whole interaction was weird.
Yeah, and I guess that she probably didn't know that he was 17, but it still didn't feel quite right. But it also, I couldn't really understand what she wanted from that. Because what she said was that she wanted love, and I assumed that meant to be sex, but every time David tried to take his clothes off, she would stop him. So it's like, are you just looking for a little makeout session just as some comfort? Or are you, what are you looking for here?
What state of mind are you in? Are you sober or not?
I can't imagine she was sober.
I wouldn't think so, but I had really forgotten that she went behind the bar and got the vodka bottle until you said that.
Yeah, she definitely did that.
Yeah.
I think she also had, was it, it was either her, it must have been her, where she said that we will all die someday. And like David had this big emotional reaction to seeing this dead guy. It just like got me thinking that like, was there ever a time where you had experienced a death or some sort of incident like this where you suddenly, your whole world was shaken and you had to rethink everything?
Not that comes to mind. And I would think if there was, that would be top of mind. So I'm going to say no.
I think so too. I don't know that, like, I've seen dead bodies of relatives at funerals, but I've never seen somebody die in front of me, essentially.
Yeah, I think I've been fortunate enough to not have anything that would be traumatic like that. Yeah. It would be so top of mind that I would instantly say, oh, yes, this experience is
in. Yeah, yeah. Same.
Yeah.
Other kinds of trauma, not this kind of trauma.
So after the guy dies, David's trying to call his mom, which we know he and his mom have kind of a weird relationship now. But I saw on your note that he wants his mom to hurt from hearing the story of this dead guy. And she's not really giving him that. She's kind of just like, oh, you're strong, you can handle it, because she doesn't want to deal with him. But their whole dynamic, I thought, was kind of strange, too.
Oh, for sure. It definitely felt like she was mentally and emotionally checked out and just kind of like left her son, was like, he'll be fine by himself. I'm going to go on my spiritual journey right now.
Yeah, I think her whole spiritual journey is her trying to get rid of her guilty conscience about how she raised the son. Maybe also the parent-child dynamic with maybe whatever she and her ex-husband at the time had with the son. It said in the beginning, like, David was really good at keeping the house clean, doing the dishes, caring for the mom. And whereas the mom, like, normally it's the other way around, where the parent is the one taking care of the child. So it almost seemed like he was the adult in the situation, and the mom was like, maybe she was depressed or something from the divorce.
Yeah.
She's like, okay, this is how I'm going to clear my conscience of my son essentially raising me. I'm going to go on like spiritual journey, which it seemed like it wasn't focused in one spirituality in one religion in particular.
It was not. It absolutely was not.
Yeah. Like, let me try this. What is it called when, I think it's Native American culture, where they have like a sweat lodge and they do a ceremony inside that. I can't remember what it's called. It sounded like she had one of those built in her backyard. And then she was also doing something in a church. And then she was also doing stuff that seemed maybe Hindu or Buddhist related. And just like trying out everything to see what sticks.
I guess I understand pulling from a lot of different like sources and just finding what works for you, but it definitely felt like she just didn't have any direction whatsoever.
Yeah, like, let me just jump in and see which one keeps me afloat.
Yeah, essentially.
Yeah.
Which doesn't work the best when you have a dependent. Maybe when you don't, that's great, but
yeah. And maybe she also felt like it was a little too late to reform the parent-child relationship, because her son is older and he's almost done with high school at that point. But like, that shouldn't be a reason that you don't try.
No, and it's honestly never too late, because even as an adult, you can still repair that relationship.
Yeah.
My only other thing was, at one point in time, David said he would have to explain where Ukraine and Turkey were to his classmates. And I was like, yeah, that sounds like Americans to me.
Well, he said, and to the teachers, like, not just the classmates, but the teachers too. I'm like, that's pretty bad.
Yeah. Checks out though.
Yeah. What is that country right off the coast of Turkey? It's a really tiny island. Cyprus, maybe?
Oh, it's not its own country. It's hotly debated as to whether or not that's part of Turkey or Greece.
Okay, that's kind of where I was imagining him being.
Is that
pretty close to Turkey? Is it off the coast?
Yeah, it's like just south, like west of Lebanon and Syria, south of Turkey.
Okay. You know,
in the Mediterranean. I'm
pretty good at geography. I don't know why I doubted myself.
Okay. Also, I'll take your word for it.
I have not thought about the country of Cyprus in years and years, so I'm surprised I even remembered the name.
Again, not a country, but yes.
Oh.
Actually, no, I'm lying.
I don't know.
Officially its own country.
Okay. I'm looking it up on Google Maps and it's labeled like the other countries are. So
I always remember learning that Cyprus was hotly debated as to whether or not it belonged to Greece or Turkey.
Maybe something's changed in the last few years.
Maybe they haven't been keeping up.
Yeah, I don't know. Okay, yeah, that's pretty much all my notes from this one too. I liked this one though. Aside from the dead man's wife forcing himself on David, I liked the story.
Yeah, it was good.
Mm-hmm. Did you like this one or the first story better?
I think I liked this one a little bit better.
Yeah, I think I did too. All right, well, let's give it a rating.
Okay. Of five, to quote the story, of five big-titted statues, how many do you give this?
Let's see. Hang on. I need to pull up what the...
You gave the last one a 3.5.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to give this one a 3.7.
Okay.
I still liked it a lot, but I have to say so far, this series is not my favorite short story series we've read.
Okay.
But it's still very good.
I think that's fair. I do like the writing. I like the concepts of it. I'm wondering if maybe we didn't skip around and read them all, it would do great, but mm-hmm. I don't know.
I know that this one referenced the Cyclops from the first story, or at least the history of a Cyclops.
Yes.
So maybe they are a little bit all connected.
Yeah, through like the themes of Greek mythology.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I think I give this like a 4.1. A little bit higher than you. A little bit higher than my last one, which was a 3.9. But
okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'm excited to see how the third one rounds out our little mini series. So the third story from Awayland by Ramona Azbell that I picked is called Departure Lounge. And just a very brief overview of what it is. It's about a chef preparing for a trip to Mars.
Oh.
So I feel like this one will be a little bit different than the other two. Like the other two being based on Earth, I feel like this one will be quite a bit different. And
yeah, probably still based on Earth, but definitely forward thinking.
Yeah. And so this one is from the section of the book that's called The Cape of Persistent Hope. So mm-hmm. It's in a different section than the other two we've read, which I on purpose. I wanted to pick one from a different section to see if the stories in that section might be a little better or worse. We'll see.
Yeah. So I'm excited.
So yes, it's called Departure Lounge, and that'll be in a few weeks. And then the book for the month of March is one that I picked called The Unmaking of June Farrow by Adrienne Young. And that one has aspects of time travel that are apparently very highly reviewed and written.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, I'm excited.
Yeah, I think those would be good.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of Marianne and Wanda. We would love to hear your feedback and if you have any books or topics for us to review.
You can reach us at Marianne and Wanda Podcast on Instagram or send us an email at marianneandwandapodcast@gmail.com. Talk to you later. Bye.
Bye.